Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it's Friday, and we are ready to talk about the challenge. Took a day to gather our thoughts, and here we go.
That's not true. I appreciate that. What really took a day was me being a little bit under the weather and getting the results of my COVID test, which, good news, negative for COVID.
Woo!
Did not do any work the previous 2 days. Matter of fact, the only thing I really did was watch the challenge.
And it's true, I had immediate thoughts after the challenge.
We all had thoughts. The thoughts were ready. My body was not.
It was a pretty good episode, I thought, actually. One of the better ones of the last few weeks. Action packed.
It cranked back up. And this one was a bit of a grower too. It started a little slow, but boy, did it finish strong. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, at the beginning of the episode, Teresa was like, a day is a year in the challenge house. Like, just lay low and let it ride.
Whoops.
And yeah, that was maybe not the best advice, but she was right in that, you know, it seemed like a year's worth of stuff almost happened in a day.
Yeah, she's not wrong that a lot of stuff happens. The notion that everyone in the challenge house has a short memory is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
she
in fact,
said
many
that.
Many of them are elephants.
Yeah. That's so funny you say that, because she said that. And my wife turned to look at me and was like, is she serious? I forget who she said, but she was like, so-and-so is a damn elephant. And I was like, yeah, that's crazy advice. Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cam. You know, it's Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, Cam is an elephant. Like, what are you talking about? Cam right. And Leroy also are just going to forget? No.
like Nani hates you from stuff that happened like 5 years ago.
Yes. I just watched the season that Nani hates you from, and it's for sure in the 20s. So it's at least 7 seasons ago.
Yeah. So yeah. You know, I don't exactly think people forget. I think that was yet another one of Teresa's nearly endless miscalculations.
Yes. Speaking of Nani's hatred for Teresa, one of my favorite moments of this episode was the subtweet that Nani did of Teresa with her Amber B is just a really cool person bit.
Oh.
Like, they did that. They had did that whole scene, right, where Amber B's talking to Nani about, like, I just am not the sort of person who's going to give up. And, like, I you know, I want to show why I'm here. I don't want to throw challenges, blah, blah, blah. And good for her. Amber B stood up for herself, and good for her. But they had that entire conversation. And then Nani did a whole ITM about, I'm just really getting to know Amber B, and she's just really cool and nice. And I think she's going to be good in this game. Like, she's a legit challenger, blah, blah, blah. Not once did anyone mention Teresa's name in the entire time. And all that was two people who hate Teresa bonding over it.
Yes. In that sense, yes. You know, the specter of Teresa hung over everything. And by the way, kind of agree with Nani. Like, I
100%.
Really didn't think much of Amber coming into this. Obviously, we didn't know anything. But she seemed just kind of quiet, really. And a bit of a non-entity, but like as the show's gone on, she's got some fight in her.
Can I tell you something? I feel like she is studying at the University of Durrell.
I think that is true.
For real. Like, this is how he plays. Yeah. I'm not going to create drama, but, like, don't test me. Right? Like,
yeah.
Either that or they just happen to be very similar. But I feel like he has said to her at some point off camera, listen, the best way to survive in this game is to not be part of any of the drama. But also, if someone comes at you, you go right back at them. You do not take shit in this game. Because that's who Durrell is. No, never show weakness. And even though Durrell did not exactly follow that policy this week, he was one of many, which, boy, do we have to talk about that. But I think Amber B, this was in a way a power move by her just to say no to, like, this established, relatively crafty veteran who is, like, trying to sell her on a plan that, look, I mean, if you're a challenged rookie and you don't know this game that well and someone is saying to you, just listen to me, this is how we play the game, right? Like, that's right. Wes has used that exact strategy to great effect over the years. Now, Teresa is obviously not as good at this.
Right, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but can you recall a point where Wes used that to get people to throw a challenge?
Johnny has. I don't know if Wes has used it to get people to throw a challenge. Johnny has. You remember the, it was like a mudslide challenge somewhere in the Dirty 30 trilogy where they were climbing up a hill and Johnny got a whole bunch of people to throw it and there was almost a fight.
But not rookies, right? Not rookies. Usually
I can't remember.
When people throw a challenge, it's a plot, right? You know what I mean? Like, there's a,
well,
know,
but
there's all, and everybody's kind of in on it. It's
but
not,
I think
generally
I
you don't have to convince people to do it. You know what I mean?
I think you could sometimes. Yeah, it's always someone's idea to throw the challenge.
I guess you're right. Maybe
we don't always see it like that.
I just don't understand why the rookies that did go along with Teresa's plan did go along with that. What was in it for them?
I'm assuming she promised them safety. I'm assuming she was like, "Yo, if you let me win, if I don't win this, I'm going in for sure. If you let me win this, I promise not to throw you in," is what I am assuming her offer was. And I don't know if the other girls took it or not. It wasn't totally clear. But it was clear that she, like, did the hard sell on Amber B, and Amber wasn't having it, and good for her. Because that is sometimes –
you know what else is clear?
What?
It was a guy's elimination day.
Yes. Like,
what are we even talking about here?
Well, that's why.
Going in regardless.
That's why there was that incredible moment where Jay gave her the "nice try, kid, but you're hurting the team."
Yeah, which was really great.
He was like, "I gotta say, it's really great to have a partner who wants to defend you the way that Teresa is defending
and
me."
I just wish
you'd stop. That was incredible, because that was the essence of the whole episode, really, is like Teresa doing way too much all over the place and everyone being like, bitch.
Yeah, no one was having it. And Jay, so for two consecutive episodes, right? Like, yeah. Jay just basically went down with the ship, right? He let her make all the moves on his behalf.
Yeah.
And took all of the blowback for it. And I have to say, Teresa just, you know, talked a little bit about, "I'm just trying to protect my man."
Nah.
But really didn't seem concerned for the impact her actions were having on him at all.
No.
Right?
And by the way, if her advice was to lay low, she did not take her own advice.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, fast forwarding to the end, when she gets paired up with Corey, she's like, "I don't know about this. Every single one of his partners has gone home." Like, you just sent a dude home. Like, it was entirely your fault. What are we talking about here?
And also, like, does Corey have anything to do with his girls getting sent home?
No, it's just dumb luck, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Teresa is becoming female Josh in the show for me.
A little bit. She even more than Josh, she thinks she's clever though.
Right, correct.
Which
correct.
Is worse.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh just thinks he's tough.
Right.
Bruce thinks she's clever. Yeah, that's kind of the difference.
Like Josh, for God's sakes, in this episode, Josh spent 20 minutes calming Fessy down, giving him advice, only to walk right back into the room and lose his shit. I mean, that was an incredible Josh moment. Sweet, sweet Josh calming Fessy down. Hey, buddy, it's not worth it. 5 minutes later.
Right, he's just trying to poke you.
Yes. This is what he does. Don't react to it. He's just trying to get a reaction. Walks back in, reacts.
Yeah. Yep.
Tremendous stuff.
I feel like this was a Devin episode where he just came off the bench and lit it up.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like drop 12 points.
Devin is Boston Celtics away. Isaiah Thomas right now. He's just, you're like, that guy? That guy's causing this to happen? Yup. In the fourth quarter, too. Just dropping bombs. He's 5'6", and he's dropping bombs. Yeah, it was really a tremendous Devin episode. My wife at one point was like, I hate him so much, but it's just so good. I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
the best villain we have. Devin is the best villain the challenge has, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that he, this season, he's taken that mantle from Wes, right? Wes has sort of evolved into, like, likable veteran as he's gotten older, you know, like, what I mean?
Maybe this isn't the best example, but as a kid, I just hated Brett Favre so much. You know, Bears fan just getting violated by him again and again.
Yeah.
And then he turned like 37 or something, and all of a sudden it was cute, and I kind of had an appreciation for him, and I was like, God, look at this old man still slinging it around, right?
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying. I've only hated Brett Favre as he's gotten older, and that's continued right on into retirement. So
yeah, that's a different thing.
But I get how you can feel that
but,
way.
But you get what I'm saying about even Tom Brady. Like,
nah, you just lost me.
Yeah, I still hate him. I'm not going to lie. I still hate Tom Brady. But don't you think even with him, I do feel like I've softened? Like,
I feel like Tom Brady is the anti-Devin, where it's like,
well, because he smiles.
You have to acknowledge, you have to acknowledge the greatness, but you don't enjoy watching him.
Right.
I have had zero fun
You're
watching
right.
any of the Tom Brady era.
Philip Rivers would have been a better one.
Yeah.
I don't hate Philip Rivers. He kind of pisses me off, but when you watch him, you're like, Jesus.
Yeah, he does spice things up a little bit, doesn't he?
That you know, father of 15 is doing some crazy stuff out there, man.
Yeah.
And Devin has some of that, and also this season he's just been in pure troll form. Like, he's peaking.
Oh yeah he's peaking, and everybody knows it, and they still can't stop it, you know what I mean?
That's why Josh is the perfect example, right? Because everyone knows Devin's game. I mean, he beat Wesson in elimination and that was cool, but everyone knows your game, and you are definitely, if we run out of skulls to get, you're the first one they're coming after, man, because no one wants to test Fessy. Like, it's you, dog. But they still fall for what he does every time. Every time. And it has an effect.
Yep. Well, and he waits for the right moment, right? Like, he clearly waited until everyone was all liquored up.
Yep.
and he made his move.
Yeah, and his move is always to annoy somebody. Always. But usually in a spectacular and explosive way. And that's the skill. The skill is knowing which button. Like, everybody has buttons. Devin knows exactly where they are and which ones to press at what time.
Yes, and exactly how to press them. So, yeah, he's firing on all cylinders, for sure. So who would you say was the MVP of this episode? Because I think it's really kind of it's tough to figure out. I mean, there were a lot of really ace performances.
There were. But to me, it's Leroy.
I guess you have to give it to Leroy. I don't think he was necessarily a dominant presence through the entire episode.
He got exactly what he wanted. Isn't he the first guy to sack up from the double agent position?
I think he might be.
I believe he is. I believe he's the first guy.
I'm going to have to look this up as we go.
Yeah, but I believe he's the first guy to put himself in from the double agent position, and they tried to make that shit look close, but it was not close.
No, it was not. They did a thing at the end, right, where he kind of got stuck on that last obstacle, right?
I don't think he did. They used the same shot.
Same thing over and over again?
Yes.
Well,
to the point where it became obvious. Like, if they had used the same shot twice or two of the same shots twice or something, maybe you would have slipped it by somebody. But it was like watching a gif.
Yeah, well, and the thing that I noticed was, regardless of whether it was the same shot or different shots, in none of the shots was Jay ever in the frame.
That's right.
like there was no point where he was even, where even his head was anywhere near Leroy's feet, right? So it was pretty obvious that it wasn't that close.
Yeah.
Which is a thing I think they do kind of a lot on this show. Yes. Like, there's a reason they shoot a lot of these things really tight.
They're not trying to make everyone look like they're getting their ass kicked. But dude, Leroy, and I knew when they lined up for that, like, Jay could probably beat almost anyone else in the house at this, but Leroy's going to kill him.
Oh, good for you, because I thought this was – actually, I really thought both the challenge and the elimination were really played to Jay's rock climbing skill set, you know?
And they did.
Yeah, and when they explain the game, I'm like, uh-oh, that seems like a Jay game. But it's Leroy, good for you for spotting it. Like, that was an impressive performance. And maybe I am –
I can tell you why. This is where my history lessons help me, Derek. Is in constantly studying past seasons of The Challenge, Leroy has basically done this before. And it was the same sort of thing. I can't even remember who the opponent was, but it was the same sort of thing where it was just like, this should be oh my God, look at Leroy.
Maybe the producers fooled me, but, you know, and obviously TJ said as much, but I definitely got the impression that, like, Jay had a pretty good time. He just got smoked, right?
So, yes, that's right. What
I'm saying. He said they both finished in under a minute, which is like, and right. He said that course was three times as long as it was in the past. So
right,
yeah. Like I think that was just,
and it took the girls a long time, right? Like it took the girls a long time, and no shade to them. It would probably. I bet you Natalie did it faster than I did. You know what I mean? But or than I would rather. But The speed, and again, it was the same thing. It was somewhere, again, in the 20s. Leroy had an elimination like this where it was the same sort of thing. When they went to all the ITMs, people were like, you don't understand how fast he did that. You know? Yeah. Anissa being like, you're going to have to watch that in slow motion.
I think that might have been the horniest I've ever seen Cam.
Yes. Like, 100%. I didn't write it down, but I had exactly the same thought.
She had definitely like, oh my God, that's my man.
Yes. She went full on like, let's get a hotel room right now.
That's right. They're not staying in the same room. I forgot about that. So, you know. And be problems when they get back to that.
And Leroy held to the strategy of sticking with Casey, which I think is smart, which leads me to, by the way,
Cam also pointed him in that direction, though.
Yes. I love that he looks to her. It's smart. Yeah. Look, at the end of the day, No shade to Leroy. I don't know these people, but based on years of watching them on the challenge, Cam is smarter than Leroy is. Okay?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you want to play a good mental game, play Cam's mental game and then just go tear people up physically like you did in this elimination, right? I mean, that's how you can do this. And you know, as much as I think he should have gone in earlier when he had a headbanger opportunity and he probably also would have won, you waited for your moment. You went and got your skull on your own terms. You killed it. And now you and Cam are ready to go. And you just got to get Casey that skull. And this leads me to one of my favorite moments of the episode. And there's another one I want to mention, too, before we get to Burn of the Week. But one of my favorite moments of this episode was Casey having, like, a real, this is the situation I'm in sort of monologue in her ITM.
About how she's carrying these, she wishes she had a bunch of cases, but
yes,
she's carrying around these two idiots.
She's like, if I had an alliance filled with Casey's, we'd be in great shape. But I don't. I got these big meathead assholes, and they're causing a lot of problems. And she's like, and I'm trying to keep control of them, but it's hard.
And you know what? Like, that's, and I think that's a great thing about Casey.
Yeah.
Like, she clearly realizes that she might be better off without these two. You know what I mean? But she's a loyal person.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, Casey,
those
gets
are her
the
people.
Game.
They've been her people every season, and she's going to hold on to them, even though they make some headaches, you know?
Like, if Casey was more of a free agent, I don't see any reason why she wouldn't be just as powerful as someone like Cam.
I agree.
I think she's a factor in challenges and eliminations as much as any woman in the house. She is smart and doesn't lose her shit in the social game. Like, she could be really great, but she is constantly weighed down by these big morons. These big emotional morons. And I was going to say it earlier, but there was a moment where right after Josh totally lost it again, where CT was like, he's a man child. Don't like, that's just who he is.
He's like, yeah, like we all want to hit him.
Yeah. Don't hit him. He's just a man child.
CT, man, CT always a candidate for Burn of the Week.
Yep,
you know, I appreciate it. There's also that great moment where he's in the ITM and they made him disappear.
Yes, yeah, just fade into the background. One of my other favorite moments also involved CT. Because he had that conversation with Teresa about Darrell, right? And so as much as she handled it all horribly, when she's like, hold on, if there are rumors around the house that I've been saying Darrell's name, CT started those rumors. And they go to the ITM and CT's like, maybe I said some things. Maybe I didn't say some things. Sometimes things get said. And then he's like, but I'm just going to say it's not me and fade into the background. And that's what he did. And it worked.
Yeah, it worked. Yep. Yep. Do you believe that he doesn't know whether he said anything or didn't say anything?
He knows what he said. And then Anissa had the line of that scene because they cut to her ITM and she just sort of deadpanned the camera and was like, CT's just as sneaky as Teresa is.
You know, we didn't really talk about other candidates for MVP. And frankly,
yeah,
I don't know if he's eligible.
She got.
But if ever there was an episode where TJ could have been the MVP, it might have been this one.
Well, I mean, it could be most episodes, like, I would argue, but why specifically this week?
I feel like it was such a strong performance from TJ, both in terms of calling people out for throwing challenges, for changing the rules, calling people out for fighting in the house.
You know, we haven't mentioned the rule change yet because it didn't have an effect.
No, it sure didn't.
Like, I was hoping
it was a little bit of big nothing.
Exactly. Like, if that had changed who was in the elimination. Because who was the other? Was it Devin? It would have been Devin, right?
Yeah, probably would have been Devin. Yeah.
And then Leroy takes out Devin. That would have been a twist. But because it didn't have an effect, right. I didn't. That's why we haven't mentioned it yet. But TJ did make a rule change. And, you know, it's interesting. This week, because we recorded late, I did listen to the Anissa and Tori podcast, and they had a producer on. And they made it sound like TJ made that decision unilaterally.
Oh, really?
Now, I don't.
Good for him, if that's the case.
Yeah, and like, the producer sort of made it sound like TJ has. In fact, one of the interesting things, you should listen to the podcast. There's some interesting things about it. But one of them is that the producer used the phrase TJ's final, which might just be, you know, sticking to the language of the show. But also, it just, like, he also sort of implied that TJ has a certain amount of latitude to make decisions.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
That was all implied.
I think TJ's final is definitely, like, part of challenge culture now.
Yeah.
You know?
But still, for a producer to say it rung a certain way when the producer said it. You know what I mean? And just, yeah. It wasn't ever explicit, but the sort of implication that TJ has a certain amount of input or control and can do things like change the votes was interesting to me. So I do now wonder if he actually made that decision himself. Because we know how he hates quitters, man. And that was a weak thing. Should we talk about that? What was... They also talked about that on the podcast. So I can tell you, I have some insight, that they sat for like 6 hours waiting out weather for the helicopter thing to be safe.
Mm. So yeah, it seemed like the weather was a factor, right? Like, that elimination looked cold.
It looked brutal. I did not want to go in that water. In fact, we were shocked when we saw that the people who won just jumped in the water rather than catching a ride back to the shore. But I for the whole group of guys to agree not to compete is pretty crazy. I mean, basically the only dudes who competed at all were Jay and Leroy, right?
Well, I mean, I think there were some guys that timed out, or maybe that was Jay and Leroy.
That was Jay and Leroy.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, there were some guys who timed out that were trying. Then there was the whole, like, just bunch of guys on a lump there. And I didn't understand what's the reasoning there?
I think they just didn't want to do it.
Afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah. That, you know,
you don't see it a lot.
That's why the girls were all like, and to me, you know, I think Big T said it best, and I think this might be my burn of the week.
Oh, it's my burn of the week.
Like, I think they just let down men, like the whole population in general.
She was like, the guys suck. They really let us down. And then she, like, interrupted herself and was like, you know what? They really let all men. She did like a hand motion. All men down. That was my burn of the week because it was deserved. And Big T is just a quiet MVP of this show. Or, like,
she's
not MVP.
She's certainly an MVP of the ITMs.
Yeah, she's just – she's a quiet assassin in the ITMs. And her shade is so well cast.
Yeah, she gets it. She definitely knows everyone in that house. And she's smart, you know, so –
And funny. She's just a really funny person.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out Devin burning himself as a nomination for the burn of the week.
Which one?
And going to Gabby and just apologizing for that side of me. and Gabby kind of not really wanting to hear it.
Yeah. He's like, hey, I know it seems like you got the best of this partnership, but sorry about when I make it not true.
Yep. Yep. I also enjoyed Kyle telling, I believe, Josh. I think it was Josh.
Yeah.
Learn something.
Yes. Good. Yeah, sure. That's going to happen. Now, yeah, all of a sudden,
that was
now.
That's exactly the tone of voice he said it in.
Yeah. That's true. Kyle continues to be hilarious on this show. He also skewered Jay at the beginning of the episode for, like, listening to Teresa and messing with his friends.
Yep, yep.
And that was a tremendous scene of Kyle being like, really, dude? This is what you chose to do? Come on.
Yeah. He was great. And speaking of Kyle and skewers... I think that was the debut of Kyle's nipple ring in the hot tub. I don't know if you saw that as well.
Didn't catch it.
Yeah, big the old huge nipple ring on Kyle.
The hot tub is seems a little janky. Or is that just me?
I agree.
This is not like a luxury hot tub for six. It's like two dudes get in it and it looks a little full and uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's almost never more than two people in that hot tub.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little weird. Should we talk about Nam at all? I felt like this is a pretty rough episode for old Nam.
I guess. It's almost like he wasn't really involved in anything, right? So it seems almost like the producers are trying to get them involved any way they can. Because the most notable thing about Lolo and Nam so far, I would say, is how little they've been involved in anything.
Yep.
And like Lolo right. has had enough camera time to understand that she's totally nuts. But not much beyond that.
Yeah, although it's another trailer where it looks like Lolo's getting in the mix next week.
Yep, she looks like she's being nuts.
but not Nam, not old Nam. Nam
no, and
know,
I think,
and he's not going to be that guy, right? Like he's not going to be a guy that's going to get in a lot of like shit talking.
Not yet,
to anybody.
Anyway. And I do wonder how much of that is like everything's in his second language. It's got to be tough.
Yeah,
or, I mean, shit, it could be like his fifth language for all I know. But, yeah, he just doesn't seem to have much of a personality, right? And,
no,
and it's
this
hard
is the,
to say
right.
if that's because he's not a great English speaker.
It seems to be most of it for me, right? Like, I don't think he's a dummy, you know?
No, I don't think he's a dummy, no. I just don't know how much there is to him personality-wise.
Right, I just don't think he has – I think he has some trouble finding the words sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's just – he just doesn't have a lot of words.
I think that's part of it. I mean, it doesn't seem like he struggles to understand at all, but just like to be a personality, I think it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
I think
one of the other contestants said this and really more matter of factly than like, I'm trying to stick it to him was like, he just seems lost in this game. In fact, they almost were like, maybe it's a strategy. I think it was Leroy said it. He's lost in this game, or he's really good at acting like he's lost in this game.
Right. I don't remember who it was, but someone definitely said that. And I don't think it's a strategy based on his ITMs and seeing all of his conversations or the ones we have seen. That doesn't mean it won't be successful because the ultimate effect is like that people haven't come for them. That could start to change because we are with Jay gone and I don't even think Jay really is a weak link, but he's smaller. So people were going to target him. We're running out of obvious targets on the men's side, at least.
I would start to worry if I was Michi.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one pretty much. And then
Michi, by the way, had some guns. I noticed that this week. I was like, you're a little more muscled than I thought.
Still
but,
got tossed
but
yeah, right off.
He
of
still
there.
Sure did, and he's still not the most serious guy, right?
Right. So, I mean, he's not Patrick or whatever that guy's name was.
Joseph.
I don't know why he feels like a Patrick to me. Anyway,
I love that neither you nor Big T can remember his name.
At least she had J's. I think she's like Jeremy. Is it? He seems like a Jeremy too. Anyway, all right. The point of all that was to say, on the men's side it's Mishi, on the women's side it's Amber M. But then it's people like Nani and Amber B. and even Lolo, who.
Yeah,
you know, can like with Nani, she sometimes is good, but sometimes isn't. And with the others, it's like, yeah, they might have something about them, but we don't really know. And Lolo's part of that. So people are coming for Lolo before they come for like Cam, right? I mean,
I think people are coming for almost all the girls before they're coming for Cam.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Like
I would
Cam
even
and Casey or
Casey,
me,
yeah,
the top of the girl pyramid right now, right?
Well, what about? I mean. Look, Teresa may be tough to deal with and have a bit of a target on her back, but people are not going to be excited about seeing her in elimination based on her history.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't see her being around more than a
Gabby's
couple
the
weeks.
Other one. Gabby and Amber M are the two. Like if they,
yeah,
and that's what's going to happen, probably, right?
Girls have the numbers, though, right? Like that's the thing about Amber M. Like, I get why people think they can beat Amber M.
Okay,
but you kind of have to get to her. Like, she's got friends in this game right now.
All
right,
but let's play out a scenario, okay? Like, let's say Casey or even Lolo win the challenge, right? So someone reasonably strong who doesn't have a skull wins the challenge, and the house throws Teresa in. I bet they throw Amber M or Gabby rather than go against Teresa themselves. Because, again, like, I don't know how excited anyone's going to be to see Teresa down there. And
yeah, I don't know. I think you put – if you're on the other side of Teresa and you're the double agents – and you don't want to go in, I think you're putting in someone you think can send her home, not someone you think she can beat.
Yeah, but I think that list is short, is my point. That's the tough thing.
Yeah.
I think the list of people who can beat Teresa or the list of people that will be thought of as able to beat Teresa is a short list.
Like, and if I'm not even. And I'm the power, you know what I mean? Like, I have that, I'm the double agent, and the house picks Teresa. Like, I'm sending Lolo in there.
Yeah, I think that's probably
right. And
I'm telling her,
like, this is not a vote against you. I'm sending you in there because I think you can beat her.
I need you
to. You know what I mean?
I need you to take Teresa's sorry ass out of here.
Right. And I feel like she would respond to that, honestly. Maybe. You know, like, the competitive nature in her is like, I need you to go in there and take her out. I bet she'd be like, hell yeah, I'm going to do that, you know?
I don't know if she'd be happy about it with the person who sent her in, though. But yeah, I think she would get up for that elimination.
I think if you came to her straight up and appealed to her competitive nature, and look, at this point, there's four skulls left,
yep,
right?
Got
to
get
a
skull.
It's an opportunity.
That's
you know?
True. It's going to be interesting to see. Because obviously Lolo's involved, and I have to imagine Teresa is as well. She has really turned herself into target number one in terms of people who are disliked.
Yeah. And you're right. I think it's because I hadn't seen her in a while. I slept on how hateable she is.
Yep.
she's doing some truly excellent heel work on the ladies' side this year. And that can be hard to do, you know, like.
It can.
Not since Cara Maria, I feel like. has there been such an obvious girl heel on the show?
Well,
I feel like I miss Cara Maria a little bit.
I mean, it's only been a couple seasons, you know.
Yep. I know.
I always wonder.
She'll be back. I'm not worried about
it. I bet she will. I wonder what the hell she's doing, though. Like, I wonder that about that. Or Bananas, I have a better idea because he's, like, in the public a little bit more. I'd have to.
Yeah, there's this thing called Instagram.
Instagram.
I
check Cara Maria's
Instagram? I think she's just
right
doing
now?
Personal training, to be honest.
I don't really. I'm not so much an Instagram guy.
Yeah.
Cara Maria. Miss Cara Maria. There she is. Well, she's got a lot of pictures of herself.
Yeah, see?
She lists herself as a photographer. Come on.
Yeah, you know, she's like faux artsy.
Come on now.
All right, so who has control of this game right now?
I mean, don't you have to say it's like the Cam and Leroy combo?
Yeah, I kind of do. And I don't know. It's weird because I really think that's it. Like, they have people who are adjacent to them, you know, their partners, essentially. And, like, they're cool enough with Big Brother that Big Brother isn't looking to get rid of them right now. But it's kind of just the two of them, right? But it does sort of seem like they're running things right now because I think the house is scared of both of them at this point.
The house is scared of both of them. Nobody wants to see either of them in an elimination. They have their gold skulls, so they're ready to go to TJ's final.
People like them, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've heard Cam say multiple times, I got a lot of friends in this game.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I don't think that's wrong.
You get the feeling that the house more or less roots for them.
Leroy especially, right? Like, it's his last season. Yeah. He's never won.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Okay. He's saying it's his last season on the show.
That's right.
And he's still saying it in real life. So that's enough for me. Like, I'm not, you know.
Jay-Z said it a lot. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, I'm not saying, I agree with you. I'm not saying we'll never see it again. But I am saying we're operating under that premise.
Okay. All right. All right.
You know what I mean?
Enough. I guess we owe him the respect to operate under that premise, except to say, if you asked me to bet my house one way or the other, I'm going to bet on, you know, come back like Jordan wearing the 4-5. That's what I'm going to bet on.
No, that's fair. I'm just saying everybody in the show, at least I think, believes it's his last season currently. So I do think it's interesting, right?
Sure.
Like, he's clearly preparing to build a life with Cam.
Uh-huh.
He's, you know, they moved to Houston. He started a barbershop down there.
Yeah. Shout out Houston.
But there's no
Leroy.
Yeah, go with Leroy. Yeah. But there's no indication that Cam isn't going to keep doing the show, right? So
that'd be interesting to see, man. I don't know.
It does kind of leave the door wide open for him.
I don't know what their spousal agreement vis-a-vis the challenge will be. So I'm not going to speculate. I'm just going to say, if you ask me to bet my house one way or the other, will he or will he not ever do a challenge again? I'm betting on yes. If I have to choose, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm not even arguing that. Like, I can definitely see it. I'm just saying he believes it, and I think the people on the cast this season believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're rooting for him in that way.
I think that's right. There is still a celebration of Leroy. Everybody loves Leroy. And why not?
I sort of wonder if we're going to get like a Jordan-style proposal on the show this year. Seems really in play to me.
Wow. Did not consider
that. Because, right, they're not engaged.
That's
right?
Not necessarily a blueprint you'd want to follow at this point, I guess.
Also true. Except, great show moment, right? Like, you know, that was a legendary show moment, I feel like.
I guess if you want to have a TV show called Kill a Fam, Cam and Leroy in Houston, then a proposal on the show is the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that Cam merch was out again this week, right?
yes. Can I get that? Do we know if I can get that Killa sweatshirt?
So there's something wrong if you can't get it. What are they doing if you can't get it? Why even wear it on the show if you can't get it?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see. Maybe I need to go to Cam's Instagram now.
Just add him on Twitter. I promise you, if you're like, hey, where can I get a Killa sweatshirt?
I am Cam.
That'll make
am.
It happen.
Is that her?
Yeah.
What's her last name? Williams. Yeah, there it is. Got her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. YouTube channel, beauty company, cam collection.
Cam collection.
Hold on, hold on, hold. That seemed. Hold on, that's an Insta. Listen, I'm probably gonna have to explore the cam collection on my own time, I guess.
I think so. I think the only time to really explore the cam collection is late at night.
Oh, I do see a cam and Leroy picture. Ago, yeah. It's official. We're moving to Houston, rocking the Hakeem jerseys.
Happened. Yeah. Like, they live in Houston now.
Yeah.
Lee
took creative control with our matching outfits. They're rocking Hakeem jerseys from the old, like, you know, red jersey, yellow piping era. Houston.
Yeah, solid choice.
Very,
solid
very choice. Good choice. Very sub. Matching shoes, too. Okay, it's Houston. Pretty baller. I'm into this Instagram. This is a good – how do I get – I'm going to give this a heart. I'm going to heart this Instagram post.
Oh,
thumbs
man.
Up on Ooh, did that.
You, did you just enter dad territory? Just
yeah.
Right there.
No, I go. Listen.
That was a Geico commercial moment.
No, it's progressive, first of all. But
oh, you're
yeah,
progressive.
I am fully. Listen, I'm a homeowner. I'm a father. And Instagram was always a little too much for me. So, like, my demarcation line for dad mode is Twitter. I get Twitter. I'm on Twitter. I'm sort of with it. I'm not very good at it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not good at getting followers or like, marketing myself in any way. But I understand the platform. That's where it stops.
Do you have a sign in your house that says no fussing, no cussing, and no back talk?
I do not. I do not. Okay. Let's see what kind of daddy signs do we have? Well, see, most of my anything like that, any art like that, is usually song lyrics of some kind.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, you know, I still want my house to be a place I want to be, but yeah, I also am a sad old person. Cam's Amazon right. must-haves. Yeah, I really got to spend some time here.
Yeah. You can go back and heart some more things later.
I mean, don't think for a second that I won't at Cam
oh, I think you will.
On Twitter and ask about a sweatshirt.
I think you will. And I think you will and yeah. you should. I wholeheartedly encourage it. And if you do, you better get two. I will Venmo you.
Okay. Sounds good.
You know what Venmo is, right?
Yeah, no, Venmo, I'm a young man on Venmo as well. Yeah. But Cash App? No.
No.
I'm a dad when it comes to Cash App. This is how I'm gonna explain things from now on. Nah, sorry, man. I'm a dad on that.
All right. I think we've wrapped up every bit we've got out of this episode. At this
yeah,
point.
I think we really, frankly, we turned away from challenge talk 5 or 6 minutes ago. So, it might be time for us to move on in general from this podcast. We were already a day late, for God's sakes. People have their things to do. I'm going to go talk to my friend Cam Williams about a sweatshirt.
Yeah, say hello to Toxic Tea for me while you're out there.
Oh, my God, Toxic Tea. We didn't mention Toxic Tea. That was a burn of the week candidate.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's because he snuck it in like, the last 30 seconds of the show, basically.
Yes, yes. Toxic Tea.
And not wrong, by the way. Not wrong.
No, Teresa.
Corey's grown up a little bit, man. Like, he's not getting a ton smarter, but.
Corey?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, he's grown up a little bit.
He's at really because again, I've been watching old Corey. The way he's grown up the most is just keeping little Corey in his pants.
Also true. Well, you
honestly,
know, a few kids will do that to you.
I guess, but little Corey was a bigger character than Corey on some of his early seasons. I just watched the season where he started out messing around with Kayla and they were having a little love connection and then she got eliminated and he within one episode was having a relationship with Camilla.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's just... That was his entire MO, and it was, like, openly talked about on the show. And just not focusing on ladies has made his game a lot better.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like Michi, it's time for Michi to step it up and take that mantle, right? Like, that's why you're here on the show. Like,
the girls seem to like him.
Yeah. Like, get out there and be a player and entertain us. You know what I mean?
That's rude. Dance for me, Michi. Yeah.
You know, like, why are we getting all these dome scenes? That are, like, Michi should be killing all the dome scenes. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not going to kill the competition,
yeah, he should be. You know, he should be making stuff happen in that weird dome bar that they walk to every night.
I love that Teresa like didn't even try. She's like, I'm gonna put on this cardigan.
She sat
the
there with her legs crossed, drinking beer. Incredible look. Incredible.
Oh, toxic tea.
Toxic tea. All right, that should do it. We'll be back on Tuesday with all the homework we talked about last Tuesday, and back next Thursday, hopefully, with more challenge talk. Hopefully,
I'm ready.
If I don't screw it up again.
and neither of us falls ill.
Yeah, exactly. All right, bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.